I learned about my mother's disappearance from the evening news. I looked up from my textbook when I overheard my surname and recognized the exact cypress tree that grew outside my bedroom window. From that point on, my life turned into a stream of simple equations. How long my mother had been missing, one day. How long since I'd had an actual conversation with her, just over a year. The cost of a bus ticket back to Coeur d'Alac, my adopted hometown, $15. The amount left in my bank account after spending $15, $110.67. How doomed I would be if I abandoned Chicago for longer than 3 nights? Very. I had 4 exams looming within the next few weeks. For a while, I lost myself in these calculations and the illusion of stability they offered. This was my standard coping mechanism. Turn everything into problems on a checklist to be neatly solved, then filed away. If I pulled it off just right, I could focus on the question of how many pairs of jeans to pack, 3, and keep my growing panic at bay. But when I arrived back in Coeur d'Alac, Illinois, heart of the lake, with no lake and no discernible heart, I stood in front of the shell of my childhood home in the balmy twilight, and everything in me crumpled. Something bad had happened here. Something bad had happened again. And this time it involved my mother. The footage on the news and the photos in the paper hadn't prepared me. The wreaths of yellow caution tape around the porch railings looked weirdly festive, like an interrupted birthday party. The porch still stood, but a narrow gash through the living room wall exposed blackened brick, hanging guts of insulation, snaky wires. The rest of the house looked more or less the same. That was almost worse. The untouched parts. I took a deep, shuddering breath. The house felt both totally vulnerable and like a fortress. Thanks to my mother's long-standing paranoia, there was no spare key hidden near my home. I went around to the side door and tried the knob. Locked, of course. A small window was set into the door. My mother kept the glass panes covered with a frilly gingham curtain, more for the privacy than for any kind of aesthetic value. She'd hated that window. Always eyeballing the distance between the pane and the doorknob, forever imagining a fist smashed through the glass, a hand reaching for the lock. I'd dutifully shared the fear as a little kid, but as a teenager, I'd finally snapped. "Who even wants to get in here, Margaret?" I'd demanded, world-weary, contemptuous. "There's never anything going on in this house." I stepped back now and examined the wilderness at the sides of the house, looking for a likely candidate, my pulse already surging with what I was about to do. Everything was weedy and overgrown, thistles blooming to calf height. I grabbed a large rock, tested its weight in my palm with a few quick bounces. Good enough.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.